You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 1 July. I'm Simon Brown, coming you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show this morning, Rowan Williams from Nitrogen Fund Managers on GDP markets and those Barlow World results that saw the stock off 11.5%. Andrew Koenig, he's redefined. They sold almost 8 billion, but they've still got the value part of LTV to worry about. FNB on living off your interest income in a low rate environment. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Vukile Boss plays down pandemic pressure on property valuations. And from Business Day, 91 says Reserve Bank can cut interest rates by another 0.5%. Morning markets are overnight strong in the US. S&P up 1.5%, NASDAQ up 1.9% and heading back towards that all-time high. Asia mixed, Sydney up 0.4%, Tokyo down 0.3%. Commodities, we've got oil strong, we've got platinum group metals mixed, and gold just above $1,800 at $1,801 an ounce, Rand 17.35. And top 40 opening call, looking for a green opening, just under 0.5% up.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Rowan Williams, he's a director at Nitrogen Fund Managers. Rowan, morning, appreciate your time. Let's quickly touch GDP. First quarter came in at -2%. We live in a crazy world where, frankly, that was considered a win. I mean, the market was expecting -4%, albeit at the end of the day, the market pretty much ignored it and carried on with its day, ending up green on Tuesday.
Yeah, so things are happening fairly quickly. So I guess even first quarter GDP print is a little bit outdated. So the near-term news flow and information and indicators are going to be have a much higher bearing. I guess you've got to keep in mind that it was the end of the second quarter and it was one of the best quarters that we've had in the last 20-plus years, and I think there wasn't too much that was going to derail the momentum going into the end of the month.
Barlow World results, operating margin down from 5.5 to 4.4. That's a big drop. HEPS at 268 versus 476. I mean, we expected tough results from them, I suppose, but the market really took a hammer to them. Stock was down 11.5% on the trading day.
Yeah, so this is also a pattern that we're seeing, that the markets generally, without the influence of news flow on particular stocks, may float up and may be quite benign. And then when the actual reality hits the tape, the stocks reprice very quickly. And in the case of Barlow, a big part of the concern was the results were just to the end of March. And so the severity of the lockdown was not reflecting in the numbers. And so they were already quite poor, and obviously the second quarter numbers for them, second quarter of the year numbers, are going to be much worse, so the market reacting accordingly.
Yeah, you point out that was only to March. The tough times are still coming from that. I don't know if you follow MTN much. I mean, it's a stock that it hasn't been any news out, but it's always all over my Twitter feed and in my emails. It's a company that it just seemed to not be able to get going. Share price starts to move, and then again yesterday just coming down, very much stuck in that 50 to 60. Are you guys at Nitrogen looking at MTN? Is it a stock you're pretty much ignoring?
We've looked at it in the past. I think we're quite concerned about the balance sheet, and obviously in the current environment that has come to the fore again, you have seen them also have a very large asset realization program to try to reduce the significant debt levels. And the other thing, obviously, is exposure to petro countries, for example, Nigeria, and also Iran. So, obviously the oil price has been all over the place. So I guess the share price has been all over the place. So, coupled with the high debt levels and sort of tough economic and operating environment in certain markets, it's certainly a volatile share. So, we prefer quality from the other mobile operators, telecom operators, over the highly leveraged place. So, we would be looking elsewhere. to put our money.
Yeah, and as you point out, it's almost a petro stock because of that exposure to Nigeria, their biggest market, Iran, another very, very big market. You mentioned in the intro, talking GDP, we had the best quarter in a long time, not just in South Africa, around the world, a really, really strong second quarter for 2020. Third quarter coming up, and we've got concerns, the U.S. CARES Act and the Paycheck Protection Program coming to an end later in July. Or is this a market where it's a minute by minute? You're not even worrying about what's going to be happening over the next 3 months. It's really going to be the next 3 hours.
Yeah, so look, I think you can look either very short term and trade it, and there are a lot of active traders in the market at the moment, or look more at the long term trend. So it's certainly going to be basically, I think, impossible for the third quarter to mirror anything like the second quarter. Obviously, the starting point is very different, but I think the outlook going into the end of the second quarter, the beginning of the third quarter, just globally, economically, is dimmer than I think has been discounted. Clearly, the pandemic is stretching out for longer. The potential for second wave infections is greater, and so the economic impact will be deeper. And obviously, this is going to impact earnings. And as maybe more of the news flow comes out in terms of the reality of the impact, so the markets will moderate, and market participants and expectations will moderate potentially quite significantly from here.
That's a good point, because, I mean, for example, Barlow World was results to March. We're going to start seeing those results to June, which are going to include a big chunk of the pandemic, of the lockdown. And those numbers are, frankly, we're going to see some horror shows coming through.
Yes, that's clearly the case. It's been interesting to see investors have been, in certain cases, looking through the cycle. So they're saying, okay, obviously we've had a sort of missing quarter to some extent from trading for a lot of these businesses, but what are they going to look like on the other side? And so being passed through the cycle and sort of being priced back and looking at the winners and losers and sort of the survivors and those that may not survive. So there may still be some of that, but I still think even the companies that have been sort of passed through the cycle are still going to feel some pain in terms of earnings and prospects, and that will start to be reflected.
We'll leave that there. Rowan Williams, Director at Nitrogen Fund Managers, appreciate your time this early morning.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
I'm chatting with Andrew Koenig. He's CEO of Redefine Properties. Andrew, good day. Thanks for your time. You've announced two asset sales, Australian student accommodation, $5.4 billion, the RDI REIT for $2.3 billion. Total, that's $7.7 billion. Notwithstanding tough market conditions, you actually got decent prices for these assets.
Thank you, Simon, and thank you for hosting me today. We are delighted with the sale of both of these two non-core assets. The Australian student accommodation is at the top end of its capital value cycle. Mm-hmm. So we were very fortunate in that there remained very strong institutional interest in these two assets, and we were able to effectively sell them for very similar pricing to pre-COVID pricing levels. In addition to that, RDI, which is a UK REIT, predominantly invested in the UK, there has been strong interest in the assets, given that the share price has been depressed, and we were receiving a number of unsolicited offers at the market pricing, which was not a price at which we would accept an offer. However, Starwood Capital, who were looking to acquire at some point the business or the assets of RDI, came along and made us an offer that we felt was very reasonable in the current market environment.
Yep. At a premium to market, 7.7 billion rand. Do all of those proceeds now go to pay down some debt?
Effectively, the answer is yes, Simon. We do have a minority partner in Australia, so we don't bank the full proceeds from the Australian assets. But yes, effectively, if you look at it, about 6.6 billion rand in total is after settling costs, etc., of selling and so on, will be applied to debt across Redefine Group, some of which would be in country, like in Australia, where there's $132 million that needs to be settled. And then obviously back here in South Africa, we'll be settling quite a significant amount of debt, as well as an exchangeable bond that is denominated in euros, totaling 117.2 million euros that will be settled as well.
We chatted at your half year to end Feb. Your loan to value at that point was just over 44%. My calculations bring this down to around 40-41%. Of course, the value part of the LTV is a moving part as well. Does that get you to, are you comfortable at that sort of level?
I think, Simon, we've made significant inroads into reducing our pre-COVID LTV, as you said, 44.2% last reporting date. So we would, through a combination of RDI, the sale of the two student accommodation assets, as well as selling some Cromwell units that are listed on the Australian Stock Exchange, we will reduce our loan to value by about 3.8% in total. Mm-hmm. So that would take it to a pre-COVID LTV level of 40.4%. We've got one or two assets here in South Africa that we're still in the process of disposing, which will take us on a pre-COVID basis below 40% to around 38.5%. Unfortunately, going forward, the V in the LTV is the unknown at this point, given that there's so many evolving unknowns that are still impacting upon property values, and that we'll only properly assess when we do our year-end valuations, which will be done during August.
Yeah, for your year-end to August. You'd actually announced ahead of the pandemic around sales of assets and the like. You said you've got a couple more. Pretty much, is that your large sales done and you've now got the company sort of where you're looking for it?
Absolutely, Simon. I think for us, it's very important that we don't damage our income-earning asset base and that we only sell off non-core assets. Now, the assets that we've so far have sold are non-core. Mm-hmm. We are not looking to sell off any core assets at this point. We still are very committed to expand in our core markets, that being South Africa, in the traditional sectors, being retail, office, and industrial. And then in Poland, where we are still expanding our logistics platform, which is a favorite asset class, as you know.
Yeah, I've chatted to a couple of logistic property companies, and certainly that is the sort of a really strong space. You've got, that's the European Logistics Investments in Poland. You reduced the holding there, but still got a chunky stake there. You've also got the EPP, which is Luxembourg and Joburg listed. Are those now your only non-South African assets?
Yes, Simon, we do have a small interest still in Nigeria that we've sold to Growthpoint Investec Africa Property Fund, and that's in the process of transferring across to them, for which we'll receive shares. But once again, that investment will be non-core, and I'm certain that in due course we will also be selling it. And then you're quite right, we will be focused mainly in South Africa, and then we'll have our offshore exposure to Poland.
And Poland / Eastern Europe is a conscious decision. Certainly, we've seen that being a very, very a good market for the property space over the last decade or more.
You know, Simon, I think if you look at the Polish market in particular, the economy there has been robust for many, many years since they were liberalized from, communism. Mm-hmm. And we have seen green shoots already there appearing post the COVID lockdown, and if you look at it on a relative basis to the other European countries, Poland's certainly coming out of the lockdown very strongly, and I would suggest are probably ahead of the others in terms of recovery. So it once again speaks to the strength of the underlying economic fundamentals in that country.
Yeah, Poland's an amazing story. We'll leave that there. Andrew Kunach, he's CEO of Redefine. Andrew, appreciate your time.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Himo Pabu. He's a FNB Savings and Cash Investments for Retail. Himo, I appreciate your time this morning. We've been chatting now, Savings Month is starting, and really talking around, there are a lot of people out there, South Africans, truthfully the world over, but our focus is South Africa, of course, who live off fixed income. They've got cash in the bank, they live off the interest. Maybe they even had some shares that paid dividends. Those interest rates are markedly down, dividends are disappearing. It's really, really tough for savers trying to survive in these record low rates we're experiencing.
Morning, Simon, and good morning to the listeners. And indeed, it is. I think a lot of people are happy on those borrowing, that are happy that the interest rate comes down and they save on that. But on the saving side, it's been a massive knock, and especially for like retired individuals who live off the, like you say, the fixed income. I mean, for example, someone who's got their retirement payout and having about R1 million saved, where the interest rate was 6%, they were earning R5,000 a year. Now it's gone down to R2,700 a month, you know, and that's about a 45% decrease in their income. So it's really been a hard knock for those that are dependent on the interest income in this environment at the moment.
And truthfully, it's not. In fact, there's a Business Day article today saying that 91 is suggesting we could see more rate cuts. The MPC has also, the governor warned that likely more cuts. They're not going up in a hurry. People are going to have to make some hard choices. And it's going to be around cutting costs rather than trying to find the return, because that increases risk. We're going to have a look at where those expenses are going and how we can fix them.
And that's very true, Simon. I mean, some of the economists are saying that we're expecting a further 50 basis points cut, and that's now over 3% in the interest rate. So those that we were used to an environment with high yield and earning on that, but we have to look carefully at earning and being able to cut our expenses and that. And I think that the lockdown has shown people that can survive off certain things and focus on what's the necessary expenses. And I mean, it's also important that we look at other opportunities as well to actually help with that, where, you know, you leverage certain rewards programs where you can get some value back and you utilize that for certain expenses as well as cutting back to free up affordability within the space and cover the gap caused by a loss in income through investment.
Yeah, that's a great point. I know some people out there who are absolute masters at the rewards programs. They run, you know, Excel spreadsheets, literally in some cases, and they're able to make significant differences from it. And I suppose this is going to be one of those options. Look at what those programs are. Look at what's available out there, and learn the ins and outs, because you can certainly get you can get some cash back. You can get some sort of real benefits from it.
And that's true. I mean, these rewards programs help. And if you look at, for example, our rewards program in SMB, we tailor it to the things that are about the everyday spend, like you're spending at Checkers for your day-to-day groceries, or at Clicks now for your pharmaceutical needs, and then on engine, on fuel. So just by spending there, you can actually reutilize those e-bucks at those places, which at time, I mean, if you actually work the program, and which is not too difficult. It's simply about making sure that your finances are up to date, and you're keeping up to date with your loan agreements, or you're saving regularly, and you can get up to the right levels. And just by keeping it towards your day-to-day living side of things, you can actually then benefit from these programs and use that to supplement your income in a good way.
And also worth chatting perhaps to your bank, or, you know, if you've got cash in a bank and it's earning interest. And, you know, oftentimes as a client of a bank, we're not sure of all the ins and outs. We've deposited money, but it's worth going to your banker and saying, you know, hang on, is there something better I can do? Maybe a different way of structuring this cash will get me a better cash flow.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, typically what we see, most people tend to keep their money on call. And it's really about this ability to want to always access the funds immediately. But one of the things is most people don't also touch a lot of that money. So what we can say, if those like senior customers or retired customers that are low risk and seeking guaranteed capital returns, it's about blending your funds across different investment products. Like, have a portion in call, have some portion in certain fixed deposits, and it helps you increase the yield on your products. And that way you can get a higher return out of it. And then as an institution, as a bank, we offer all investment type products. So speaking to your banker or advisor within the bank, I mean, there's also fixed income products like within your money market funds or stable income funds that tend to offer a higher yield at a low risk. So by taking a lump sum that you have and spreading it out and diversifying it, and also mixing it within how much you want available in excess of cash, you can actually optimize your yield in that way by blending all these products and getting more out of it. So, you know, it's not really like there's no silver bullet, but packaging a lot of things together and working with your bank and your advisors, you can actually structure your investments in a certain way and manage your spend in a certain way to help you manage the expenses as well as increase your return on investment.
Yeah, we have lazy investments. We can be perhaps smarter about it. Himil Pabu, CEO, F&B Savings and Cash Investments, appreciate the time. That's it for today. You'll find us live every morning, 6:30 a.m. On moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app. Podcast from 7 a.m. My thanks to you for listening. My guests, my producer, Cordora, sound engineer, Eddie. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.